You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 64 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by the very one and only Marcel Manzano. Is that what you wanted, or was it more like Santa Claus you wanted?
No, it's sure. More like a ho, ho, ho. Actually, it's more like a double ho, ho, because I'm hungry. I want a ho, ho.
Sponsored by Hostess. Not yet. Soon. Maybe. We got to work a little harder for that.
Yep.
So before we go too far, I want to remind everybody, you can always watch our podcast recordings live on Twitch. That's every Monday. Wednesday nights, we're going to be continuing our league night coverage. And Fridays, we got our Friday night grab bag. It's whatever I feel like doing. And this Friday, I'm feeling like I'm going to probably play some Vassal because we have Columbus, not this weekend, but the weekend following, which brings me to our upcoming system open stream at Origins. That's going to be June 15th and 16th. That's a Friday, Saturday. If you're interested in helping me keep stats, hey, can you put the mute button on? I can hear all your ice. Thank you, sir. if you'd be willing to help out and help keep stats, I have a way for you guys to do that. Just go ahead, shoot me a message, and I'm going to send you back a form asking you when you're available and see what rounds. And yeah, because I'm going to be playing at that one. But I'll have the camera all set up, and it'll be ready to go.
Unlock the hologram.
All right, so the first topic I want to get into is the store championship kit. I don't know if you've been online recently. Maybe you haven't seen it yet, but we're going to go ahead and talk about that store kit, store championship kit, which we've been waiting for. And so let's go ahead and talk about that. Marcel, what do we got in this sweet, sweet kit?
Okay, so we start off with the range rulers. They look yellow and see-through. So they're going with a different color this time. And, of course, you always get the regional championship buy for winning it. And then it comes with three cards. One ship card and two upgrade cards. One crew, one... There you go. One crew and one illicit.
That's EPT, I think. Yeah, EPT.
Yep. EPT, sorry.
It's all right. So, yeah, you're getting Orson Krennic, an alternate art version of his first edition card, and then on the back you get the second edition version. So you see that it flips sideways. Then the EPT is Juke. You get an alternate version of that, and then they have the second edition version on the back. Then for first and second place, there is a plastic Cavern Angels Zealot, something like that. Let me have the name right here. What's it called? Yeah, Cavern Angel Zealot cards. One of them says first place. The other one says second place. There is no plaque in this kit.
Boo.
No plaques. Yeah, I'm a little... I was sad when I saw no plaques.
I know. What are you supposed to use the shield tokens then?
That's right. Angel Zealous recruits, because apparently they're not going to be in 2.0. They're not going to be in second edition because the backside of that is not a second edition card. And as for those range rulers, I mean, they're kind like they are yellow, but at the same time, they kind of come off a little orangey. So is it orange again? Orange-ish again?
Orange-ish. Well, they went from like a almost red orange to an orange orange to a kind of yellow orange. They also had a blue once as well, if I remember.
Yep.
I think they're fine. They're not. They're not too ugly. I mean, they're nothing. They're not super nice, but they're not horrible.
So one thing that I find kind of interesting is because there's not a plaque in here, I don't feel as super motivated to go to like a bajillion of these, because the whole thing you're trying to go for is like the plaque to show it off. In this kit, you're like,
maybe. Yeah, I think in this one, you want that regional buy. I mean,
right.
You're probably going to go until you get the regional buy, but after you get the regional buy, I don't know. I guess that's what you're shooting for. Not really sure what else.
Yeah, I mean, the Juke card is the participation one. The Krennic one is going to be the top four. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of store championships, as many store championships you have in your area. And so there's a good chance you'll be able to get your hands on something from here. And whatever I get extra from store championships, we will be giving away on the podcast. So some fun stuff there.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to focus on specifically is that X-Wing card that they give us in there gave us a lot of gave us some new information about the upcoming release of the Saw Gerrera Saw's Renegades. That PS1 X-Wing, we see that it's 22 points. We knew that from before, but we find out that it has an EPT. 22 points and an EPT. But here's my problem with it. Okay,
That's a pilot skill. Is that pilot skill one with an EPT with in version one?
Correct, and you can put the refit on there to go -2 to make it 20.
Oh my god. Okay.
So here I want to talk about some good side, bad side. So the rookie,
sure.
Okay, the rookie pilot is only 21 points base.
Yep.
So you can get 5 of those with Flight Assist Astromech and your what's that called? Integrated Astromech, all the S-foils and stuff like that. In this one, you can't, if you're trying to do 5 of them, you can't even get a droid, which means you can't get Integrated Astromech. So what are you going to use that EPT for? That's what I want to talk about today.
Okay.
If you're going to abuse it.
Well, I don't think you can abuse it. Because if you want to abuse it, you want to go with the droid. You need that extra health is worth more than whatever EPT you can put on it. Mm-hmm. You can go pilot skill up, so you'll be a droidless pilot skill 2.
can you adaptability down to 0?
That's actually a good question. This would be a first.
right. I don't know.
I mean, if you want like that ultimate blocker, you can go. Pilot skill 0 blocking. The other ones really is just trick shot. Is trick shot better than an extra health? No.
I don't think so. Right?
I don't think so either. An extra health and a higher pilot skill.
Mm-hmm. And I know some people naturally said, oh, crack shot. But if you're going to put crack shot on them, you're only getting 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know if crack shot with 4 X-Wings that don't have integrated is worth it, because they're going to be 21 points with a crack shot.
Now, you get extra stuff with it, right? What's the additional things that you get from the new titles outside of the -2 points? You get to put extra things on them as well, right?
Oh, wait a second. Oh, we missed something. There's a -1 cost to EPTs.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can put you can put 5 crack shots.
You can. Oh my god. Why would they let us do that? I guess they're like, second edition's coming. Whoa. Let it all burn down.
No. you can put 5. You can still get 5 of the. What are they called? The K fighters with crack shots. That doesn't mean you do it.
That's true.
Well, actually, I did do it, but that's not the point. It's not gonna break anything, I don't think.
So you would go S foils and crack shot on those guys, and you would get.
I would probably still go with the K fighters because you can put. I don't think the crack shot makes sense. I think you want to go with 4 of them fully loaded. But if you're going 4 fully loaded, I'm still going to go back to 4 pilots go 5 K fighters. I'm not sure I'm going to go with 4 of these guys. Or maybe 3 of these guys with somebody that dishes out target locks.
Maybe something with tracer missiles.
Yeah, no, but actually, I'll take that back, because then you're giving up your bomb slot to get the two extra points on it.
Right, I'm saying maybe like a Z95 or something. A
torpedo, no. I don't know.
Okay,
I'm sure you can figure it out. I don't think you're gonna load an entire squadron with this. I think it'll make a good, if you can find a good support EPT. I think that's probably what you want. Something that'll take somebody else's damage or something like draw their fire or something like that. Maybe that might come in handy.
All right. So looking at it, we were kind of comparing it to the Kirax. So you could do 5 Kiraxes, but you couldn't get crack shot on them because you couldn't get an EPT. Mm-hmm. You could do 4.
You can do 4 with crack shot and other nice stuff.
Right, and other stuff. So the question is, in a head-to-head, and in situations, mm-hmm. does having that one extra ship with same survivability, as X-Wing has one extra shield, does that make a huge difference? Plus the EPT. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's what people are going to try first, right? You go with the crack shot. But let's look at some other EPTs we have available. We have, let's see, 1 point EPTs. Determination. Can avoid blinded pilots, but I don't know. Fearlessness.
You
shove them in at range one. You just go for it.
Yeah, but they got to be pointing at you too. Too many. And plus, actually, isn't that a scum one?
It's scum only. Sad. Okay, never mind. You're right. Saturation salvo, guys. No, you have to perform a missile attack. That was sarcastic. I'm not being serious. No saturation salvo. So you can get
Deadeye? No. Deadeye maybe?
Deadeye, but the retrofit takes away your torpedo slot. So
lightning pre-K turns? No.
Veteran
Rage? No.
Veteran instincts. You go up to PS3. You get PS3 and no droid.
No, this is not. Like I said, there might be a support one. You put one in with some type of support EPT. That's the only thing I can think of, like Wingman or something like that. That removes stress from somebody else if you got a list that stresses itself. I don't know.
I found it. Cool hand. Cool hand. Cool hand. When you receive a stress token, you may discard this card to assign one focus or evade token to your ship. K turn. Everybody focuses. It's a one-trick pony. It's probably not better than Crackshot, though.
No, not at all.
Yeah, man. So I'm going to try it, okay? Of course we're going to try it. We're going to take the 5 X-Wings PS1 with Crackshot and compare it to the PS2s. I just don't that the integrated astromech is the thing that really makes me go like, I don't know if it's worth it. Because there is no zero-point astromech, right? And we didn't see one in the...
No, there isn't.
There's no 0 points, and there's none in the card spreads for the Saul's Renegade stuff. So, I don't think so. I don't.
Mm-mm.
Because essentially, let's say they go head to head, right? The fact that they're firing at PS2,
mm-hmm.
right? You can PS kill one of the PS1s. And the integrated astromech essentially cancels out the crack shot. Because it's one for one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think you got to go with the pilot skill twos over these. Because you can get the integrated astromech, but then you also get the benefit of the droid as well. And you're probably going to go with the droid that gives you the free boost or barrel roll.
Yeah.
So if you're going against these guys that are lower pilot skill, you're going to be arc dodging them with those free, or you're going to be getting arcs. You're going to be guaranteed that you're not out of arc with it. So I don't see how these are any way better than the pilot skill 2 without having them just be strictly an EPT support, some kind of again something to help other ships around it at a cheap cost and still throw out 3 attack dice. Yeah, I don't see it. I'm going to put it. I mean, we'll try it, right?
Yeah, of course. That's our job. Yeah, we'll try it out. Just for people online, I just updated the Discord server link. Sorry about that. That is now a forever link, so that one should work forever, hopefully, as long as I don't click a reset button. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, people at home, people in the chat, what do you guys think? Do you guys kind of understand where we're going with that? I do see the excitement with the crack shot, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Yeah, so...
Ow, 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 ow.
You okay? Don't hurt
my
yourself.
My leg fell asleep.
Oh, no. Don't do that now.
It's tickling. It is tickling.
Now, the next thing I want to touch on, right, and people in the chat right now are starting to agree with us. Integrated is greater than Crackshot.
Yeah.
Especially the fact that you can like, oh, I'm about to take a bad crit. Like, no, let's ditch that. That could be worth up to 2 damage there, like a double damage. You just ditch it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it this way, Chewbacca, which does essentially the same thing. Does the same thing, plus it adds an extra shield. But Chewbacca, the more than adding the extra shield, the benefit is that you get to throw away a critical that's gonna really hurt you. So you do that for 0 points. I mean,
right.
Chewbacca's 4, and Chewbacca's not a horrible addition to a list. So, yeah. Totally.
All right. So now we're on the road to 2.0. We're on the road to second edition. And we've talked a little bit about first edition. Let's go ahead and go back to the other side. Let's talk about second edition. We have a couple things going out. And I was doing some research today for the podcast, and I came across the fact that at the European Nationals, Alex Davey said that the Gunner slot, which is it's a really, really powerful card. I'm going to go ahead and pull up the text to make sure I'm reading it correctly. Just don't want to say that wrong. Did somebody else just jump in here? Because I hear it sounds different.
No, it was me.
It's you. Okay.
I've muted myself for a minute.
Okay. Just give me a second. Pulling it up here. I'm sure somebody could probably post it faster than I can look it up. Stalling, stalling, stalling.
I'm looking it up.
I have a million windows open on my computer. Come on. You can do it. You can do it.
I got it. No, I don't. Yes, I do. Okay, here we go.
He beat me to it. Oh, I got him. I got it. So it says, at the start of the engagement phase, you may spend 1 force to rotate your mobile arc indicator. So the idea here being that you have perfect information. You can spend a force and rotate your arc wherever you need it. The thing is, Alex Davey said that card costs 30 points. 30 points. So if you want to think about it in first edition, that's a 15-point card. We do not have anything in this game that is worth 15 points.
Not even close.
So, like, that... They're saying perfect information now is worth... you want this perfect information, you're going to pay for it big time. Now, the other thing I do want to mention is that I have a question about this card, and they're working on, I'm trying to simplify the game and using like symbols that try to match across all cards. Now, this mobile arc indicator is a single mobile arc. So my question is, does this gunner card work with ships that have the 180 turret?
Ooh.
Because that's a different symbol altogether.
Yeah, I would say no, because it doesn't, because that symbol has pointing to the front and back, and this symbol is only pointing in one direction.
Yeah. Now, I will say one thing about that point cost. This is brought to me through people. I can't 100% clarify, like, guarantee that that's the point cost. But
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Confirm nor deny. But if it's true, like, that is, it's putting a premium cost on perfect information. And
which leads me to ask about cards like Intelligence Agent, which give you perfect information. So I would rather have a 20-point ship or a low point, one of those TIE fighters with, you know, one of those Rebel TIE fighters with the titles and an intelligence agent for less points than this, well, or potentially less points, or about similar points to just this one perfect information Luke Skywalker card. So is it a premium on the information, or is it a premium on powerful cards?
We don't know. Right. Yeah. We'll see where the power balance, you know, ends up being. If nobody ends up using this Luke card, then the points will probably slowly start to come down. But yeah. And then, so here's somebody in the chat saying, it should work. Veteran turret gunner says you can fire out of the other single turret icon or something like that. Let's see. See if we can look that one up. Veteran turret gunner, something to compare it to. Edit, find, veteran. There you go. Veteran tail gunner. After you, no, that is front arc, back arc. Turret gunner. Veteran turret gunner reads, after you perform a primary attack, you may perform a bonus mobile arc attack using a mobile arc you did not already attack from this round. So it might work with Luke, assuming if you kind of take that card as precedence. Because if it's talking about other mobile arcs, you're not going to have multiple of the single arcs on a ship. At least we haven't seen that yet. So maybe it does work. We'll have to find out.
Didn't they release the FAQ already? Or a version of?
No.
No? Oh, I thought I saw something about that.
We know nothing. Everything is hearsay and questions and hope.
Well, here I say that it doesn't work.
Okay, you say it doesn't work? We'll see.
I think it probably will. It probably will. I mean, but you bring up a good point. Whether it does or it doesn't work, it doesn't really matter because they're going to have to get really specific with the symbols. If they're going symbols instead of just the word arc.
Right. Exactly. So we'll have to see. What we haven't seen is the rule book in the core set. I want that book so bad. Like, I want to know all the things. I want to go through it and read it and get, like, the specific rulings on things. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see there. But it's going to be interesting how all these squads are built. And it was kind of perfect. We're going to be talking about this, and it ended up working out. Today, FFG released an article talking about squad building. And the specific part I want to focus on is the threat cards, is what they're calling it. It's these pre-built squadrons or single builds for a ship in order to make a quick squad. So in part of their article here, they say here, for a normal game, players choose cards with a total of 8 threat. They have these little dash marks. So you take 200 divided by 8. Where's my calculator here? I'm terrible at math, so I just don't want to be an idiot and say it wrong. 25. Okay. So each threat is approximately 25 points. So that can also start to give us an idea of how some of these ships are costed. So one of the examples they show here, they show Valen Rudor. That's a TIE fighter here, has elusive and shield upgrade and has 2 threat. So that's telling you that all those things together is going to cost about 50 points. They show Black Squadron Ace also costing 2 threat. An Academy pilot is only 1 threat. So That's telling you that's 24 to 25 points in the ballpark there.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Where's I'm looking through the page.
I lost you here. I'm gonna post it in Sandcaster. Hold up.
Yeah, I'm trying to look on the page and I don't see it.
Did I not put it on our notes, that one?
Alright.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it. Actually, that I was looking at it a minute ago. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, got it.
So then I'll just kind of keep going as you go through that. Then what they do is they go through one of the rebel squads and they show each of the pilots and their threat level and an example of a squad. So they have a three X-Wing squad here with Luke, Jack, and a Red Squadron veteran. Pretty decent. You get a lot of cards. You know, this is going to be a nice 300-point squad. You get tons of upgrades. But it is interesting to see that we are going to have some ideas on how to build some squads before we actually get the point cost. Because one thing they did reiterate at Euros is that the app is not going to come out until September 13th. So we're still going to be into the dark until the very first day. So this means that any events or special things that might happen before that has to do with second edition, most likely people will be playing with the threat cards, not with point values. So that's one thing we're going to be getting into with our streaming and stuff like that. We have some ways to build cards now because we have seen some of those threat cards, some of those threat cards revealed already.
So it's a total of 8 threat per team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, total of 8.
So when we get to the actual game itself, and you've got the 200 point limit.
Yep.
Is this strictly for leading up to it, or are we going to have multiple limits to where they're saying you can have 200 points, but a maximum of 8 threats, so you can't go to 200 points and 9th threat?
Maybe, but see, I think the idea here is that these are just like pre-generated squads. Are ways for people to build squads fast. So they might have an event, like a special event, and say, at this event, you can only use threat builds, and they can only equal 5 or 3. Like you can create a quick build format where people don't have to worry about the squad building part of it and just throw something together. And this is really good. I love these for beginners, like new players.
Mm-hmm.
Just something to go ahead and just be like, hey, you don't have to worry about squad building. Let's build some of these with the threat. And that also gives people experience with combining different types of ships. You're like, these are two different ships that have 3 threat. Let me try them in different ways, see which one fits my play style better. Like I really like that they're building in a way for people to have an easier road to getting a squad on the table. Because I know that when I started, my first squads were absolutely terrible. I had no idea where to start. Like, it was just kind of throwing things in the dark until something kind of stuck. But this is giving people a chance, at least some pre-gen builds that they might not be the best, but something that at least makes sense on a ship.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it makes sense for starter players. I'm just wondering when you get to the tournament levels if it's going to add a lot of complexity, because towards the end of right now that we're getting to version 1, when we're getting into conditions and everything else, a lot of the negative feedback is how complex things are getting, and people are missing back some of the simpleness of it.
Right.
So if we're starting to add multiple rules on what makes a squad legal, that's where I get a little worried about. Do we have to worry about number of threats plus points and then just have to juggle between different rules to make a squad legal?
No, I think that it's going to end up being you can build a squad either using threat as the determination of how far you can go or squad point costs. And I think the threats will only be in like special side events or community Like FFG talked about, they're going to be running special type of events, you know, like predetermined tournaments. We might use Threat for that. I don't think like the World Championships or anything like that will have anything to do with Threat. It'll just be straight 200 points, build what you want.
Yeah, and I mean, in that case, I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense. It's just pick one and put it on the table.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that, and we'll see what comes of that. You know, second edition is something that we're getting lots of little pieces very, very slowly, and I'm just excited to start tearing it apart. Like I want to get some of this stuff in my hands, and we're proxying things and trying to learn more, but until we have all the information, I won't be satisfied.
I know you're chomping at the bit.
Oh yeah. And you know, Marcel, I know you've been busy. You have had work and all this kind of stuff lately.
Yeah.
Like, now that you've had some time to digest some of this second edition stuff, what are some of the things that you're excited about initially?
Well, a couple of things. One is the no 360 turrets or 360 arcs. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the all ships lose half points.
Yes.
And I'm excited about the medium bases, not just the small, medium, and large. Now it gives you something else it gives you a different element for measuring and knowing your distances. So the people that are very good at looking at a board and knowing where you're going to go, it's going to make it a little bit tougher for them, but they're also going to be able to distance themselves a little bit further because if they're good at that, they're going to be better at it than other people when you make it tougher. As far as the format that I'm most excited about is that nothing is printed with points on it. So you don't have to wait for an FAQ to drop. If something's starting to go out of whack, they can adjust on the fly. And I like that, which keeps things fresh. It'll keep a lot of these things that happens with the triple jumps, with the Peritanis, with all these you know, Fen and VCX things and the Fairship Rebels. It'll keep that from, you can't stop it from overtaking maybe about 3 weeks to a month worth of tournaments, but it'll prevent it from spilling over into a 3 or 4 month or until the next release of ships comes out. They'll be able to adjust it on the fly. So I'm really excited about that element of it.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about the Force. I like the idea of the Force. I just think that the Force, I don't know. Something about, you know, getting soft focuses and getting so many additional abilities for certain ships. I wonder, you know, how generics or non-force users
are going to stack up.
Yeah.
And I think that's something they're going to have to adjust on the fly, is going to be the point cost for the force users. Most likely, if I was thinking from a marketing standpoint, right? From a marketing standpoint, you want your popular characters, you want Darth Vader, you want Luke Skywalker, you want you know, the Inquisitor, like these major characters that are in Star Wars that use the Force, you want them to be good. So I think they will be good right off the gate, but I think if the meta trends to it being just all Force users, I think they'll have to increase the points slowly and make those generic ships better. Because I know most people who are just kind of classic X-Wing players, they're looking for like, I would love to fly 4 or 5 ships and dogfight it out with my friends and it be competitive. Like, I think that's what people really want in X-Wing. So I do think FFG, like you said, does have to watch out for the power level of the Force. Yep. So speaking of that, this is just, it's train of thought here. One thing that we are working on for our patrons, since we're talking about the Force, is going to be Gold Squadron Podcast Force tokens.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Those are in our production line. After we have some other things coming out, but yeah, so look for those information. I moved that out of the way. Information of that coming, but yeah, we'll see. I'm also curious to see how they points cost things that have the force that regenerate, and mm-hmm. things that have charges that regenerate, and things that don't have charges that regenerate. Like, what's the value on some these abilities that you can do over and over again versus those you can only do one time?
Yeah, I think those are, to your point, those are just things that they're gonna have to adjust on the fly. But it depends also how powerful of an ability or a missile or whatever it is you're mm-hmm. you're regenerating.
Yeah. So, man, there's so much going on right now with X-Wing. Like, I know for me personally, like I've been a little overwhelmed with some of the just there's so much information out there. I don't know where to go from here, right?
Yeah, and I'm kind of running into that, and I'm in that I haven't played a game in, I think it's about 2.5 months now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been busy. I've been traveling. I've been working. I've been doing a lot of things, but I've been trying to keep up with a lot of the stuff that's coming out. However, you know, without actually talking with other X-Wing people and hanging out with you guys, if it's becoming overwhelming to you and you are the own Mr. X-Wing, for people like me, I know that it's beyond overwhelming. I'm thinking like, oh my God, do I even want to, like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like the house is on fire. Right. But for people like my brother, Conrad, who has been out of X-Wing for about a year and a half
mm-hmm.
and is now just hearing these news, he's thinking to himself, like, he's getting excited and he's,
right.
he's not worried about version one anymore. He's just prepping for version two to come out and he's going to hit the ground running. So, yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag of emotions for everyone. You know, people who are into X-Wing right now real heavily and are enjoying version one and version two, it's overwhelming because where do you put your attention? You still want to prepare for sword championships. You still yep. want to be where the system opens, but you got your eyes on version two. People like me that have been preoccupied,
mm-hmm.
but I still love version one. And I'm
right.
listening about version two. I'm like, I'm kind of holding on and saying, don't move my cheese yet.
Yeah,
like just leave that cheese alone for another 6 months. Don't move my right. cheese yet. But I like some of the elements of version two, but it's confusing. Like I'm getting a lot of stuff mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And again, people that have been out for a while or just completely gave up on version one, saying, you know, this is broken. I hate it. FFG. Is the devil incarnate, like all of that? You know that they're starting to come back. So, it's all around. It's an exciting time for X-Wing, but you can be on any side of the pendulum on this one.
Yep, and I think Isekar
and I need
go ahead.
And what's going to happen to all the expensive swag that I haven't offloaded yet?
Your dice are still valuable. Everything else is garbage. No, all jokes aside, you know, Isekar in the chat mentioned this, and this is exactly where I was going. Is I'm curious to see how attendance is going to be for store championships. Like, there's going to be this mix of people who are like, I don't want to play first edition, so I'll just wait for second edition. But you want that regional buy? Like there's both sides. You're in a prisoner's dilemma, right? You have to play first edition in order to get some advantage in second edition. Because regionals, when that comes around, that regional buy, for mm-hmm. instance, will be second edition. It's not going to be first edition. So like, but at the same time, like me as a content provider and as a player, I want to like dive straight into second edition, but we have a lot of information. But at the same time, we're looking at this without any context. And I think that is what gives that overwhelming feeling as a player that has all the context in first edition. You don't have any for second edition right now. So you're like, I'm excited, but I don't know what any of this means. It's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah, I think overall it's still going to end up being the same. You know, the cream is still going to rise to the top, I think. You know, the IDs, the Heavers, the Duncans, you know, William Nate, they're still going to rise to the top. So even though nobody knows anything, I still think people that know, understand mechanics, understand psychology, and understand how to look at the board will still be okay. I think people, I think the people that are going to have the most to gain right now are people that are really creative in list building, because it's going to be completely new to everyone, and they're going to the first skill that we're going to have to learn is how to build a list with this new ever evolving point system and upgrade system. So I think those people will probably be the fastest one out of the gate, but then the people that are just good at simply flying are going to be taking over and staying on top for a while. But overall, it's going to be the Wild Wild West for the first few months, for sure.
Yeah. God, there's so much. There's just so much. Yeah, I do get overwhelmed a little bit, for sure. I want to point out a couple of things that people are saying here in the chat, because there's a lot of good stuff. Mm-hmm. So we have some rumors here that Dash is rumored to be 98 points and the Outrider title is 12. So that would put Luke Skywalker Gunner Crew, that would put him at 140 points. And you only have 60 left.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Say that again.
So
let me go to the chat. Is it the Twitch?
Yeah, it's in Twitch chat. It's from Zog Kala. So, because Dash, we know, is a really good pilot, and with all these changes, the fact that he can break this major rule, the fact that he can just ignore obstacles, is still very appealing to people.
Yeah. You know, that's not so horrible, because if you think about it, that's about a 70-point dash, but you already can get close to a 60-point dash, and that's a 70-point dash with perfect information, to your point. So it's not so far-fetched, I don't think. If you're looking at it, I mean, that's a 70-point ace.
Right, but you don't have 70-point aces. That's a 70-point ace as soon as you half-point it, you've just given up 35 points.
Yeah, but you've got 63-point ships right now that you can get 63 points on.
That's true. I just don't like Dash. Man, I don't know. It just seems really, really expensive. But I think it should be expensive. I'm not saying mm-hmm. it's too expensive. I think Dash in our current game, or in second edition, the wholesomeness of second edition could very easily be just like slapped around by Dash if he was too cheap. And he's one that I know a lot of people are gonna try to jump on early. I really feel that people are gonna try to jump on that early, because he breaks fundamental rules of the game, and if Luke Skywalker Crew works with him, he can start like shooting, you know, wherever he feels like it. He still gets four dice and all this. Like, it's potentially abusable, but the point cost is what's going to keep him reined in.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. The point cost and the half points, and I think there's going to be plenty of other things that'll counter it.
Yep. And then some other questions are popping up in the chat. When are store champs going to be happening? So originally, when orders for the store championship kits were sent out, the stores were supposed to schedule anywhere from May, June, and July. So somewhere between there. We are already in June. So I would call your stores, your local stores, and be like, hey, did we get the kit? Is it on the way? Let's get just scheduled. Because what's going to happen, I know, for instance, in our area, what's going to end up happening for us is we're going to have a ton of overlapping dates. It's going to be ridiculous, especially that most places are going to want to do 2 days. I don't think that's going to be possible with if we're trying to do like not overlapping, because we're going to end up having only, if you do June and July, that's 8 weeks. And for instance, Chicago area, we have, I mean, how many stores did we have? We calculated last week, that's like 16.
That's my life. Yeah.
It's a ton.
15, 16, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see when those actually get scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the ones that we can get to, we will be streaming from. I'm hoping. I need Saw's Renegades to come out because I really want to play 5 X-Wings for store championships.
Has there been any more spoilers on that?
Nope. No, nothing else. This,
everything is
2.0. Yeah, the latest spoiler would be the fact that the PS1 X-Wing is 22 points.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, 22 points with the EPT. That's the newest thing with this kit. But I want a date on this. I haven't seen a date on there. Maybe somebody in our chat has seen one. Like, there's a couple of websites that have like estimated dates, but mm-hmm. I've seen a different date on like an Australian distributor's website, on Amazon, and then there was even another one that I saw posted out somewhere. Somebody in the chat wants to know when can we find out about Marcel's card?
At this point, my card's gonna be like the shortest card in existence ever, right?
Right. I know. Should we
it's
just
gonna come out and then it's gonna like a week later? Okay, now we're version 2.0. It's no longer good.
Well, they waited so long to put it in anything.
Yeah, no kidding. It's because originally it was slated for something that the card that didn't get canceled, but what it was slated in got canceled.
Right.
And then they had to reroute it and find somewhere else to put it.
Yep.
That's so sad.
Yep. Like, do you want to like reveal which one it is in the pack, at least like the name of it?
Yeah, sure, why not? What are they gonna do, ban me from everything?
Probably. Yeah.
It's like I don't care. Well, it's Thrust Corrector, there you go. Yeah. That's what it's called.
Yep. Has a G1A on it.
Yeah. It's a Thrust Corrector with a G1A. I'm not going to say what it does, but when you see it revealed, you'll know that's what it was.
Yep. So it's a fun card. I like it. I think it's good.
It'll be fun. It's store championship fun.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it kind of just I think stinks for you, and then Nand has a card in there too. Like, it's just like
coming out, yeah.
Right, it's like, and no good anymore.
All right, we'll get about a month of play out of it.
Well, we'll see. They might re-release it, like in second edition.
Oh yeah, they might rename it or re shift it around a little bit to where it does something similar, not exactly the same, or maybe it does exactly the same because I don't think it's overpowered by any means.
But the thing, I can't. We can't talk about it.
But yeah, just enjoy it and put. I'll just say this: just enjoy it and put some B-wings on the table during store time.
There you go. Oh, you gave away spoilers!
Put some B-wings.
FFG will never know.
Nah, they don't listen.
Yeah, they're asking Reaper or Saws. It's in Saws Renegades, that pack, right? They didn't include it in. In the Reaper, it's in Saws.
No, it's in the Rebel.
Yeah, it's in the Rebel one. Okay. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. So, my question to the chat is: do you guys have any questions before we go here? Let's go ahead and open up the discussion for any topics that you guys want to hit on. What are you excited to do with Second Edition? What are you excited to fly? And as we're waiting here. Patrons, I want to take a moment to talk to you guys. We posted today on the website, on Patreon, and on Facebook. I am starting to update all of our second edition, or all of our first edition alt arts to second edition. And we'll go ahead and bring that up here on the screen. Desktop. There it is. So I've updated some of the Rebel cards. The stats and a couple of things that are wrong on there are wrong on purpose, by the way. I had a couple of people like, you got this wrong. I know. I did it on purpose. So yeah, you can go ahead and take a look at some of those. The first three to be updated are Fenral, Lorik, and Nora Wexley. Those are available for purchase by the general public. We have a coupon code on GoldSquadronPodcast.com. And patrons, you guys will be getting these, but because I can only send up to like four cards, I can kind of squeeze five in those sleeves at once. Like, you guys will be getting them, but it'll be, I'll do like two of the updated ones and like two new ones, so that we're not just, I would just kind of feel weird like sending out all the old art for several quarters in a row. I think that's kind of lame. So I'm making them available for purchase for everybody. That way, if you want to get yours right away, you can go ahead and get them right away. I would rather spend money commissioning new stuff as well as updating the old stuff. So just want to you guys to be able to see that there. All right, so let me go ahead. I'll just make that disappear now. How to make it disappear? Boom. Bam. There we go. So, people, Durandal asked, any thoughts on the spoiled Revel conversion kit? Oh, man, there is so much stuff in there. That's one of the things I was telling you where I got a little overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, my God, it's like 100-something cards. But, yeah, well, I guess we'll go ahead and crack it open. Why not? Give the people what they want, Marcel.
What do I want?
They want to us to talk about the conversion kit. Let's talk about the conversion kit.
All right.
Boom.
You got on the notes?
I go to the... Let's see. I don't know if this link will work. Let's find out. It's not in the notes.
But try Zencastr?
I just dropped that in Zencastr, yeah. You know, because of course we don't see any point costs. What we're really seeing is what the initiative for each pilot is going to be and how they're starting to shake that out. I remember something I wanted to bring up with the PS1 having a larger point cost than the PS2 X-Wing. They're starting to show. They talked about this on the cast when they first revealed that they're going to be willing to price ships according to what they think it is power level. They won't necessarily stick to a scale where it's like the PS1 costs this much and then you add two points to get to this one. You know, they're starting to show that at least right at the end, like, hey, we're willing to have that flexibility. And by adding the EPT, they say, hey, it has to be a little more expensive. I mean, there's just so many cards in here. We could do a whole cast just like reading one by one. But I don't think we have the time to do that today. We can do some of them.
I don't think. Let me click the link again. Let me see if it opens up.
Yeah,
for me.
Go to our Facebook page.
Huh?
Go to our Facebook page, click on posts, and it's a post I made on May 31st.
I'll take a peek at it, and I'll get right there. All right. Open up. Not too many windows open. Is it the post that says Pro Tech?
Yeah, that one. Yep.
Okay, I got that one.
That's it. Okay, let's go ahead and we'll skip.
I'm starting at Dutch Vander. Should I be going back or forward?
Let's see. You're starting on Dutch. Let's go ahead and push forward and start on the B-Wings. How about that?
All right, push forward and a B-Wings. Let's go to the B-Wings. Jake Burrell, Arvel, Green. I saw this before. Okay,
yeah.
B-Wing. Got it.
Yep. So Braylon Strom, Initiative 4. You notice that he used to be in ARC 170. He is now, I don't know if he's also, I don't remember. I think he's moved to the B-Wing. He's using the old Kian Farlander art. Rest in peace, Kian Farlander. I don't think he's going to be a thing anymore. He's Blade Leader as his subtitle. His ability is, while you defend or perform an attack, if you are stressed, you may reroll up to 2 of your dice. Huh. So
that is strong.
That is
very,
really good.
Very strong. 2 dice strong.
Attacking or defending, too.
Yep. Well, the defending, you only got 1 agility on the side, range 3, but still strong.
Mm-hmm.
And a relatively high pilot skill. It's above, you know, from the other things we've seen, 4 is pretty high.
Yeah, so initiative 4. And with the B-Wing dial, which we did get that revealed, it is pretty easy to get this thing stressed. So probably what you're going to be looking for is some way to get this guy a focus token to modify the focuses and then also stress him out. Maybe somehow coordinate him in one of these red actions or something like that to like get a focus, coordinate that. Or you could even, I guess you could focus barrel roll, right? Just on the card.
Yeah, just focus barrel roll and get your reroll. So it's basically focus barrel roll target lock or focus barrel roll. I mean, you're essentially Rey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I'm glad they didn't put points on these things. Oh my God. I'm serious because it's they're so drastically different that you don't know how they're going to end up.
Nope. And that's when we do get the app, like, oh, I'm excited and terrified all at the same time. There's so much work ahead. There's so much work. So go ahead and read Ten Num.
All right. Ten Num is, while defending, actually that is still brainline. Hold on. Let me go back. When you are defend or perform an attack, you may spend 1 stress token to change all of your focus results to hits or evade. So it's essentially it's similar to
Kian, yep.
Farlander, but it adds that ability for defensive purposes as well, not just for offense. So it's strong. I like Braylon's better.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point you're taking what's better, 1-2 rerolls or a soft focus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a choice to be made, and what choice are you going to make, right?
Yeah, you have to.
And they're at the same pilot skill as well. I mean, or same initiative.
Same initiative. So. Yep. So it literally is just that decision between, are you going for, if you have a list that, for instance, has something like, who is it that provides the target locks? Like Dutch Vander, where you're giving other people locks, then maybe you go with something like Ten Nub, where you're altering the focus. Like, it just depends on what synergy you have in there. But you have the options. I do like that because the B-Wing can get stressed easily, they kept the dial relatively the same or similar, where it's still easy to get stressed. They're using that to the advantage on the ships. Like, hey, when you're stressed, you can do things with it.
Yeah, I hope they do that with the Jump Masters, because they're going to have more stress than anything else. not the point.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, Ten Nub, of course, if he has a sensor slot, you can maybe get that new fire control system on there to get 1 reroll at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and shift to the Z-95s. Got Aaron Kraken. He's an intelligence chief. Says, after you perform an attack, he's initiative 5, by the way. After you perform an attack, you may choose 1 friendly ship at range 1. That ship may perform an action, treating it as red. So that's, it's a coordinate that forces your opponent to do a red coordinate, essentially. Very similar to what he did before, but it's just adding that stress mechanic onto it to avoid too many broken combos. And also, like, it avoids like multiple type of like post activation.
Well, yeah, I mean, in 10 numbs, in 10 numbs case, you would be getting 10 num would be getting his regular action. Let's assume he took a target lock, and then with this, if it was white, he would be getting a focus and the barrel roll, and then he would be using a soft focus for burning one of the stress and the regular focus for the other one and rerolls. I mean, it gets much.
Mm-hmm. So then next Z95 initiative 4, we have Lieutenant Blount. Go for it.
Lieutenant Blount, while you perform a primary attack, if there is at least one other friendly ship at range 0 to 1 of the defender, you may roll one additional attack die. This reminds me, Jess Pava?
Yeah, it kind of reminds you of Jess Pava, but instead of getting rerolls, you get an extra die.
Well, I was thinking more of the Z95 and Drew.
Oh, I see that. It's the opposite.
You're basically getting an additional die based on how you fly the ship, on how close you fly the ship. In this case, they don't have to be range 0 to 1 to you. They have to be 0 to 1 of the defender. So basically, you take a blocker and you throw that blocker, or you take one of those really cheap, a cheap Z95 and you throw it in there, and then you get this guy gets to come in behind and shoot with a 3-3 primary.
Yep. So that's it. It's a gives you an option there. We'll see where his point cost lands. That might be a cheap way to get a pseudo 3 attack dice ship in your list. Notable thing, they did change the art on the Tala Squadron pilot. I do like that art a lot, actually. So if you haven't had a chance, take a look at it. It's pretty cool. Then we'll get to the Wookiees. Lorik, Initiative 3, we know this. Reinforce has been changed, okay? Reinforce has been changed that you have to be, let's say you reinforce the front, the person who is shooting you, if they're not completely in the front, like let's say part of their base is in the back, reinforce doesn't work. Like it has to be completely one side or the other, where the attacker is coming from. But his ability has been toned down a lot. It's been toned down a lot. So Lorik reads now, after a friendly ship at range 0 to 1 becomes the defender, you may spend one reinforce token. If you do, that ship gains one evade token. So what you're doing, essentially, is you're changing one of the available dice of that friendly ship to an evade, because evade tokens no longer add an extra result. They can only modify the dice that are there. So this is huge. I think this is a really big nerf to Lorik, which I'm glad that they did, because his original ability is just way too good.
Yeah, just adding an extra one, and then if you had somebody with an evade token, then you've got basically two evades out of zero rolls, even on a BCX.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so I think it's an appropriate leveled ability. If they price it at the price that they put it originally, very similar price point, I think we'll be okay. Like it's fair. I think it's fair now. They did add that red barrel roll to the odds of tuck. Wolf Waro.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's fine. It's red. Takes away the action. They didn't reinforce that turn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wolf Waro, basically same ability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's really nothing different about him.
Then Wolf Waro, his ability here is...
It's the same.
It's the same, right?
Yeah, no change.
Well, I guess the tweak is that you don't need as many damage cards, but one thing to note is that the Azatuk does have one less shield than it had before. So that's one thing.
And one extra hull. Same hull.
They just straight up lost the shield.
So it went from 9 to 8.
Yeah.
Got it.
They're just like, yeah, that's it. You're done. Good.
Good.
Alrighty. Let's go ahead.
Crits are going to be a lot more valuable now. And anything with a crit ability, because shields are disappearing. So, and shield tokens are going to be a lot less coveted. So if you got like some acrylic shield tokens,
yep.
Don't need that many.
The metal ones, I actually have some right here on my table. Metal shield tokens. Ooh.
Fancy.
Let's see who else we got. We got here on our list here. We got Hera in the attack shuttle. Go ahead.
All right. After, and this is the, the attack shuttle, the Spectre 2. After you reveal a red or blue maneuver, you may set your dial to another maneuver of the same difficulty. So that did not change
at all.
At all. I mean, that is still the same ability. And it still has the native title built in, locked and loaded. While you are docked after you after your carrier ship performs a primary attack or a
turret attack,
it may perform a bonus rear attack as well. Blah blah blah. So nice little ship. And at pilot skill five, at initiative five, it's good ability at a high initiative.
Then Sabine has that same ability, still really good. We'll just move on here. Ezra has changed here. His ability completely changed. Now he has a force point, if you haven't seen that before. And he says, while you defend or perform an attack, if you are stressed, you may spend one force to change up to two of your eyeball results to evades or hit results. So what this is doing is giving you the ability to double the force effect, because naturally the force only does one eyeball to a hit or an evade. Ezra allows you to do two, assuming that you are stressed. Zeb is boring and does the same thing.
Same thing. I was just saying it helps him a little bit more, because now they go from two shields to hull to three hull, one shield. So it comes a little more, the likelihood of a crit is a little higher, but it's not exciting enough.
Yep. And then we get into our Sheathapedes, the Phantom Twos. And Fenral is still the highest.
Burn it.
His ability is changed a little bit. It has changed a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and read it. After an enemy ship in your firing arc engages, so this is, it's about to attack, right? If you are not stressed, you may gain one stress token. If you do, that ship cannot spend tokens to modify dice while it performs an attack during this phase. So the thing that changed is the during this phase part. Before it said this turn, the entire turn. So let's say like quick draw is going to take a shield and it's about to activate. You drop that, you drop the stress from Fenrau. You shut him down for the entire turn all the way until dials for the next one. This one now, if we do end up getting attacks that are in different phases other than just the engagement phase, this only affects during that single phase. The comm shuttle special ability is the same as it was before. The carrier gets a coordinate when it activates. The Ezra shuttle is the same. Sheathapede, it just gives you that comm shuttle ability instead. Zeb is the same. AP5, can you go ahead and read that one?
When you coordinate, if you choose a ship with exactly one stress token, it can perform an action. It can perform actions.
So one stress, not multiple stress.
Then, and you can perform actions with it.
Yeah.
And it has the robot thingy instead of the focus.
Yeah, calculate. I do want to go back to Fenrau. I think Fenrau is definitely one ship that I'm right away taking a look at competitively, because he even shuts down the force. Because force is a token.
You're right.
You can't. It's a modified dice.
Yeah, and it's the highest initiative available. It's still coordinating at the highest initiative, so you got a good bid. You're still going to do Fenrel things.
Shenanigans, yep.
Yeah, and it's got a focus. It's got it's got more haul than it did before, or is it the same?
I think it's the same as it was before. I'll double check.
Still, it's strong. There's really no, unless they point them really high.
Yeah, and I think they have to. I think they have to increase his costs. And I think if he gets abused, and this is the beauty, right, of the second edition is, he gets abused, the point cost is going to go up on him. But initially, he is on our Gold Squadron pilots to watch list. Fenrau, still very good. Shuts down the Force.
Yeah.
He's like, Force? I don't believe in the Force. The Hawks have been talked about quite a bit, but we'll go ahead and hit these abilities. They've changed a little bit.
Sure.
Go ahead and give me that Jan Ors.
While a friendly ship in your firing arc performs a primary attack, if you are not stressed, you may gain one stress token. If you do that, ship may roll one additional attack die. So big difference being that the ship has to be in the firing arc.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the same.
All right, go ahead. Just hit the next one.
Okay, and that is Kyle Katarn. At the start of the engagement phase, when you go into combat, you may transfer one of your focus tokens to a friendly ship. Again, in ring arc. So now they're moving away from ranges to more of a firing arc things. But they have a rotating firing arc, so it still gives them flexibility.
It does. And again, this also comes down to how the vocabulary is going to work out in the rule book. Does firing, it doesn't say primary firing arc, it says firing arc. So right now we're assuming that means either your front firing arc, assuming you have one, and your mobile arc. For instance, if you do notice that without the Moldy Crow title, which does add that front three dice attack, the only firing arc it has is where this thing is pointed at. So it's one important thing to note. You don't, like, if you have it pointed to the left, if you don't have the Moldy Crow title, you don't have the front and the left. You only have the left. Yeah. And it also doesn't even specify range. And this is something we talked about on our stream, not this Wednesday, but the one before that.
Ugo, yeah.
When we did Torkoal Mux, where it just says in the firing arc, I want to know if firing arc is now going to be defined in the rule book as range 1 to 3. Because right now, the way this reads with first edition eyes and what we've learned is you could be all the way on the other side of the table as long as you have somebody in the arc. You'd be like, hey, buddy, you throw a focus token across the table and they get it.
Yeah, just park them. Yep. Park them and point.
Yeah. Just sit, throw it downfield. Touchdown. Hail Mary.
Yeah. That was like the old Atani mind link.
Yeah, exactly.
There he is right there. throwing it to the other side.
Yeah. Don't get upset, people. I know somebody, at least one person, like, it doesn't make sense to be able to throw it across the table. We're just kind of going, you know, as written right now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be mad, bro. It's all right. Then we got Rourke Garnett, the good-hearted smuggler. I do like these subtitles. They're not going to be on our alt arts because we don't have the space because we have so much art, so much beautiful things to show you. But, yeah. Anyway, Rourke Garnett, at the start of the engagement phase, you may choose one ship in your firing arc. Again, no range specified. If you do, it engages at initiative 7 instead of its standard initiative. So that's very similar to what it did before. It used to be able to shoot things, like have things shoot at 12. It just means you get to shoot first. As long as there's not a Han Solo in there that has initiative for you.
Hmm. Is Han Solo 7?
Han Solo, there's like, I think his crew card says you can shoot at 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I could be wrong about that. TIE Fighters for Rebels. they're...
Ezra is the same.
Ezra replaces Ahsoka, and Sabine, Captain Rex, and Zeb are exactly the same. Nothing different there at all. One thing, the suppressive fire condition card does say Caption Rex at some point, so we need to make an alt art of Caption Rex. I'm looking for ideas. I will pay an artist to make this happen. But
Caption Rex?
It says Caption Rex on one of the... Because it says Captain Rex several times, but one of them says Caption.
Got it.
Yeah, there was a little editing mistake. Oopsie doopsie.
Oh, well.
Yep. So just looking at our time here, I know Marcel does have to go at 10:30, so we're gonna get through as many of these in the next, mm-hmm. five minutes or so. So we'll move. We did the TIE Fighter there. Boom. Cornhorn, Nathan Knighty's very own. Let's go ahead and give me that, Marcel.
Initiative zero. You may perform a bonus primary attack against an enemy ship inside your bullseye firing arc. If you do, at the start of the next planning phase, gain a disarm token. Experimental scanners, you can acquire locks beyond range 3. You cannot acquire locks at range 1.
So long-range scanner, a better long-range scanner is built in.
Mm-hmm.
And, the initiative 0 takes place of what he used to do before, which is at the end phase, I think, is when you get to shoot before.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it in the bullseye, so it takes more skill to get his thing off. And I do want to mention Catherine in our chat here mentions that because Ahsoka wasn't in there, some people are speculating that we might be getting some Clone Wars era ships because in Rebels, from what we've been told, Lucasfilm and FFG worked a little bit closer hand in hand in this whole reboot of X-Wing, and Ahsoka never flew that TIE fighter. Like it didn't make any sense for her to have been in that TIE fighter. So, mm-hmm. By removing Ahsoka, maybe we'll get her in something else, or maybe we don't even have her in the game. Or spoilers, if you haven't watched the season finale of Rebels, close your ears now. Okay, here we go. There is that whole end sequence where we see Ahsoka and Sabine kind of chilling together. Like, we might get some future cartoon knowing information. Maybe she flies something else. So we get that ship with Ahsoka in it. So that's that. We get a new Etana Bot. It's gone. We get Gavin Darklighter. Assume the brother of Biggs Darklighter. I'm going to assume that. And very similar ability. It says, while a friendly ship performs an attack, if the defender is in your primary firing arc, the attacker may choose one hit result, may change one hit result to a crit result. Same deal there. And we got two generics. And we'll go ahead and stop there for now. We have more cards to get through. We'll go ahead and continue through these next week. But we have a lot of pilots to kind of think about. And make decisions on whether we think they're good or bad. So Marcel, from what we read today, we went through the E-Wing, TIE Fighter, the Hawk, Sheetapede, Attack Shuttle, Ozatuk, Z-95, B-Wing. Those are the ones we went through. Which one sounds the most promising to you? Which one are you most excited about?
Well, that's going to depend. It depends on the range 1, 2, and 3. If it's limitless range, which I doubt, then I'm most excited about the Taka Tarn.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are ranges, then I think Fenral's just going to be broken. So I'm going to leave Fenral out of it. I'm excited about the B-Wings. Just the rerolls and all the soft abilities just give it some pretty good... I don't know. They'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You?
For me, I'm really liking Jan Ors and that ability to get that extra attack die, being able to, because attack dice are at a premium. We know that that's really good. And assuming that the Hawks are a little bit more competitively priced, they can do more, they can actually hit a little harder. She might be one where you don't even put the Moldy Krill title, because we know it's going to be expensive. Like, you get like a whole nother arc to shoot out of. She might be one that you keep cheap, and she's an upgrade there. She at least has her little mobile arc. She can contribute that way. But being able to just soup up an attack and try to maybe PS kill something early with like trying to overwhelm it with dice could be cool. Mm-hmm. But I'm also excited about Ezra in both of these shuttles. Just that ability is really, really good to mm-hmm. be able to. Essentially, you're getting like two force tokens that you can use at the same, that you must use at the same time. So we'll go ahead and see the power level that has come down with him. Is that we don't know yet, but currently there is none of those like shenanigans where you can like self stress him and do that on purpose without having to do something on the dial.
Mm-hmm. Doubt it, but yeah.
Yeah. So we have lots more to go through. Again, I have been a little bit overwhelmed with, there's a lot of things going on Gold Squadron podcast wise. I just finished sending out a bunch of swags. So if you haven't gotten your latest swag, maybe wait like one more week. If you haven't got it by then, go ahead and hit me up. I still have to send out all of the, right here. Let me go ahead and just grab it. I'll show it off here. Got a pile here. I need to get a couple more international stamps for these guys. Those will be gone. And then all of the current Patreon swag will be out. That's our last first edition swag, all second edition swag starting in the third quarter and beyond. Patrick in the chat says he got his yesterday. See, they're starting to flow mm-hmm. in. And what we're going to do today is we're going to do our June raffle. And we are giving away a X-Wing conversion kit. X-Wing second edition conversion kit. So I'm going to go ahead and pull up patreon.com. This is for our patrons. And pull up my spreadsheet where I have everybody there. Broken Sword 9, he's a question about Patreon. In the description, what we do per creation is basically I release two charged episodes. I want to move it to monthly, but people are scared of change. Essentially, it's twice a month is what I end up doing. Broken Sword. Anyway, so let's go ahead and I'm gonna pull up my list of patrons. Loading. All right, I got my list here. Pick a number, Marcel.
From one to what?
Just let's go one to ten.
Four.
All right, I'm gonna count to four. I'm scrolling up and down. I'm going to count to four. One, two, three, four. All right.
I win?
No, it didn't. Mike Carpenter, whatever you choose, it is rigged. Should I put it on the screen? Anyway, Mike Carpenter, you have won an X-Wing second edition conversion kit of your choice. Go ahead, hit me up. Here's the thing, though, Mike. You have to have listened to the episode to know that you won. So, go ahead, hit me up. If he doesn't contact me by next Monday, we're giving it away to somebody else. So, we'll find out there. Mike, you have until next, or this, the upcoming Sunday, basically, to get in contact with me. rigged. Mike Carpenter. So, this is Mike Carpenter.
Is this considered cheating on stream?
Cheating on stream? What? Because
you're cheating on stream.
How am I cheating on stream?
It's rigged.
How is it rigged? I scrolled and I stopped. You counted. You gave me the number.
But you stopped on Mike.
I didn't stop on anybody else's. I know it seems rigged, right? It didn't stop on like my own name, right? Dio Morales. Like, oh, I guess I'm gonna buy myself a conversion kit. Anyway, so congratulations to Mike. Thank you for your support, Mike out of Utah. So again, hey, you get, never know, guys. You might have a chance. And we're going to give a conversion kit away in July. And depending on how things go over the next couple weekends when it comes to Twitch Prime subscribers and all that kind of stuff, we're probably going to be giving one away at the Columbus System Open and the Seattle System Open. So we'll have to see how that all that goes. But I love giving away stuff. I love it. It's fun. And people will complain that it's rigged. It's fine.
Because it is.
Yeah, it's always rigged. If they don't win, it's rigged. That's how it goes, right? So I want to remind everybody to watch live X-Wing events and content on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/GoldSquadronPodcast. It is our preferred service. If you have to watch on YouTube, go ahead and watch on YouTube. But most of our interactions do happen on Twitch. Catch us, not this weekend, but upcoming the 15th, 16th at Columbus System Open. No commentary on that one until I can't win anymore. So hopefully there's none at all, because I'll be going all the way to the end. I want to win. I want to get my Coruscant invite. Anyway, Portland System Open will be the week after that. So go ahead and watch out for that content. And of course, all of our replays are put up on our YouTube channel. Look up Gold Squadron Podcast on YouTube. Go ahead, subscribe, hit that little bell for the notifications. And lastly, if you enjoy the show and you want to help us continue expanding our content, have opportunities to win these raffles and stuff, go ahead to patreon.com/goldsquadron. You can also become a Twitch Prime subscriber by connecting your Amazon account to Twitch and give away free money by clicking a button. It's pretty amazing. And it has made a huge difference. So for Marcel and myself, we are Gold Squadron. Gold Squadron.